Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us, Father. Father, I'm so thankful that we can come into your house boldly and give you all the praise and worship, Father. I pray that our worship will be pleasing into your sight today, Father. Father, I want to lift up praises for Disciple Now. We've had such an awesome weekend, Father, of worship and fellowship, praise and prayer. And I'm just thankful for all of these young people, for all of the folks who made it possible. The worship leaders, Father, the host homes, for the youth leaders, Father, we just lift them up and give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father. Father, you're doing something special with our youth across the country. We're seeing college campuses and hearts being set on fire for you, Lord, and I just pray that we continue to see that, and I pray that it comes right here to Montgomery County. Father, as we continue our worship this morning, I want to ask that you go before us, Lord, and prepare our hearts and our minds so that we receive a message directly from you, Father. I want to lift up Brother Cal as he brings forward the message that you have for him, and lift up Billy Walker and the Sunday school teachers as they teach your word, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's say that again. Getting free in 23. All right. Turning your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. If you're there, say amen. Now, we're going to be in verses 5 through 14 today, but I just want to read one of those verses to you. And, last week we talked about getting free from the penalty of sin. This morning we're going to talk about getting free from the power of sin. How many of you would like to live above sin? How many of you like to have victory over the power of sin? Freedom. Yeah, well, you can have it. Look at your neighbor and say, you can get it. Yeah. Getting free in 23. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. You remain seated if you can honor God's word by saying amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. That was weak. That was weak. Y'all, Jesus is the living word. He is not only the written word, he is the living word. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, think about that. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. You believe the word of God this morning? Yes. Father, bless and honor your word. May the spirit of the living God teach us this morning from your word and give us the boldness and the obedience and the courage to just say yes. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Romans chapter 6, verse 18 tells us that we are free from sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. Sin is no longer our master. We are free from sin. That's being free from, that's kind of the sermon series over these last 2 weeks, and we'll be for two more weeks. But we learned again last week we're free from the penalty of sin, and this morning we're going to talk about being free from the very power of sin. If you are in Christ, I said if you're in Christ, you have the power to live the strongest personality, power, force in the universe. If you're a believer, you've got that dwelling in your life. You've got Him. He's the strongest force, person, power, whatever you want to call that. The Holy Spirit can give you what you need to live above sin. We should have charged $250 to get in the door this morning. What you're about to hear is going to be a great blessing for you this morning. The Word of God is so wonderful. Amen? Amen. And so when you were born with a sin nature. That's your old nature. The Bible calls it the flesh. You were born physically. You were born into sin. You chose to sin. And you got this sin nature. But hallelujah, when you got born again, you received a new nature. Look at your neighbor and whoever you're sitting with and say, you look new. You've got a new nature. And it's a spiritual nature. And you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And when you've got the Holy Spirit, bless God, He is in control now of your life. And He makes all things new. The Bible calls that walking in the Spirit. If you're under the control of the old nature, that you're in the flesh. If you're under the control of the new nature, the Spirit nature, the Holy Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit. But guess what? When God saved you, your old sin nature was not eradicated. That's a big word for put away. You still got a sin nature. Y'all don't sit out here and look all spiritual at me. We've all got a sin nature. And He rears His ugly head from time to time, right? And so, but you've got, if you're born again, you've got this spirit nature deep inside of you. And those two are at war with one another. They're working against one another. There's a battle going on deep down inside you. Did you know that? This is not some playground. This is a battleground. So you've got both of those natures working against one another. And so it is possible from time to time for a believer to be under the control of his or her old nature. Their flesh. That is possible from time to time. And so I guess you're asking the question, well then, how can I have victory over sin? How can I live above sin? How can I get free this morning from the power? I'm so glad you asked. Are y'all with me? In Romans chapter 8, we've been in Romans 8 now, 3 weeks. But in Romans chapter 8, 19 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Hello? Do you think there's a message there for us? Yes. The very Spirit that lives in you will give you what you need to get freedom today from the power of sin. So let's dive into this. Are you ready? All right. And I believe in verses 5 through 14, 15, 16, something like that, the text is really asking three main questions. Look at verse 5 of chapter 8. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. For those who live according to the flesh, that's your old nature, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, in other words, to be living in the flesh under your old nature is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Circle that in your Bible. Those who are in the flesh, in other words, under the control of their old nature, cannot please God. And so really the first question I want to ask you today is, does your old nature have control of your life? Does your flesh have control of your life from time to time? Or maybe quite a bit of the time. Does it? Well, to answer that question, it's really not that difficult to find out who's in charge and who's in control of your life. You see, what we pursue, listen to me now, what we pursue, what we're going after, it reveals which nature's in charge of your life. Let me ask you some questions here. What are your interests? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? What are you passionate about? What do you spend your time thinking about? What are your wishes and your dreams and your hopes? Well, whatever the answer is to those questions and more, reveals who's in charge of your life. Now, when I told you that, you know, when you got saved, you got who? You got the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell in you. And I believe when you get saved, you get all of the Spirit of God that you're ever going to get. But the bigger question is, does the Spirit of God have all of you? Who has who? Ask somebody, who has who? Who's got who? Do y'all remember a few years ago when Carrie Underwood sang that song that really lifted her up to prominence? I think the name of it was Jesus Take the Wheel. Am I right, hon? Okay. Jesus Take the Wheel. All right. And I remember a few months after that on Facebook, there was a post that said, you know what? And I won't tell you who it was because I knew him. But the post said, you know what? I got to get out of the driver's seat and let God have control of my life. And then just a few posts under that, somebody said, yeah, get in the back seat. That's true. Who's in the driver's seat of your life? Who's in control? Who's in charge? And my all-time favorite bumper sticker, my all-time favorite bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot. That all sounds good, you know, and it's you know, it sounds kind of cute and all that. But can I just tell y'all, God is not your co-pilot. He's the pilot. It's His plane. And you're just on the ride with Him. We're in the passenger section. Hello? I don't know where all this control stuff comes from. Yeah, I do. It comes from within, from our old sin nature. And you know, we've got this American mindset. I call it the Home Depot curse. I can handle this. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I can do this. I got this. And we have control of things, or we think we've got control of things. Let me just tell you real quick up front, we don't have control of anything. Not a thing. And so we have this deal that, you know, I'm in control. And from time to time when that happens, you think you're in charge. But then you begin to realize, you know what? I can't do everything myself. I'm really not in control. And if you have that attitude, that Home Depot attitude, brother, sister, you are going to live the most frustrated, defeated life that you can ever imagine. You listen to your pastor. If I'm not your pastor, listen to the preacher. Who's in control of your life? Is the Holy Spirit in control? Or is your old flesh, that rotten flesh? Do we have any examples of believers in the Bible being controlled by their old sin? Yeah. Y'all remember Abraham, right? He married Hagar. Who's in control there? It sure wasn't God. Remember Lot? He moved to Sodom. Who's in control there? You remember Moses? He murdered an Egyptian. You remember Solomon and all those hundreds of wives and concubines he had for political reasons? Who's in control there? You remember Jonah? He fled to Tarshish. You remember Simon Peter? He struck Malchus. So from time to time, that old sin nature jumps up and takes control of things, but it's only because we allow our flesh to have control and be in charge. And so let me ask you that question again. Who is in control of your life? Who have you surrendered to? Who do you follow? Who's in charge in your life? Who are you going to obey? Who are you going to listen to? Let me ask you that question again. From time to time, or maybe a lot, or maybe most of the time, is your old nature in control of your life? Well, if so, you are going to live a messed up, wasted, frustrated, defeated life. Now, I know most of y'all, and most of y'all in here don't want that for your life. Right? All right, here's the second question. And it's a great question. Look at verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. Say amen. But in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Do I need to read that again? And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So these verses in verses 9 through 11, it's distinguishing between those who are saved and those who are not saved. The unsaved person does not have the Holy Spirit in them. Okay? Now the saved person does have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And as we talked about last week, if you are truly born again, if you really do have the Spirit of God, your life is going to give evidence of that by living a holy life. You see, God's Word becomes your way of life, becomes your way of living. Why? Because you want to please God. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, you want to please God, right? Boy, I'm getting some moon calf stares right now. Do you have the new nature? Do you have this Holy Spirit? That's the second question that you need to answer. The Holy Spirit is not only our guarantee of eternal life, He is our guarantee of abundant life. He makes everything new. When you got saved, you became a brand new creation. You got a new mindset, a new outlook, a new attitude, a new life. He made everything new. Do you have that new nature? Do you have the Holy Spirit? In other words, let me ask it like this. Does He convict you when you're in sin? When you sin, do you feel nasty and dirty and embarrassed and filthy? Do you? When you're in the Word of God from time to time, does He teach you and show you things that you really didn't understand or really didn't know? Does He comfort you when you need comfort? Does He answer your prayers? And look at verse 16. Have mercy. Have mercy. Look at verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, steal one. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Everything that I've just mentioned to you, conviction of sin, leadership in your life, purpose, meaning, the direction of your life, peace, wisdom, All of that is the Holy Spirit. And from time to time, God just says, hey, big boy, you're one of mine. You're one of my children. I love you. Has God told anybody that lately? How many times have you told your kids and your grandkids you love them and that they're yours? And God loves us infinitely more than parents and grandparents do their kids. Did y'all hear that? Don't you tell me, oh, nobody loves me. God loves y'all. And if you're one of His children, He is going to pick you up and dust you off and shine you up and say, "Ooh, you're looking good. You are my kid." Give God praise, y'all. Come on. Hallelujah. So do you have the Holy Spirit? Okay. About six of you answered. I hope and pray that everybody in this building, before you leave here, you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've got the Holy Spirit. Here's the third question. Here's where I want to camp out for a few minutes. Does your new nature have control of your life? We asked the question, does your old nature, your old sin nature, does the flesh have control of your life? And we answered the question, do you have the new nature? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Thirdly, does your new nature, does the Spirit have control of your life? Look at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, did y'all hear that? Which one do you want, life or death? But if by, you won't hear preaching like this at most churches, because most pastors today are more worried about their pocketbook and their paycheck than they are about preaching God's word. And I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Jesus. I learned a long time ago I should have listened to God. But if by the Spirit, watch this, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Woo! For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And you could say the daughters of God. Okay? So, here we are. Does your new nature have control of your life? And I've come here today to tell you, once you turn control of your body, your mind, and your spirit over to the Holy Spirit can then impart victory over sin. I don't know how to say it any plainer. This is un-American. This is as un-American as you can get. But true victory in this life comes through surrender. If you want to live above sin, the Holy Spirit's got what you need to do that. You can get set free, but you've got to totally and completely surrender to His leadership. Again, if you're a believer, you've got Him, but does He have all of you? That's right where we are. That's right where the church is today. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about your desire to have all of Him. And for Him to have all of you. And when you surrender totally and completely to Him, here's what He does. He enables us to put to death those sinful acts of our flesh. Y'all missed it. As we surrender wholeheartedly to Him, He gives us His power, strongest power in the universe, right? To put to death those deeds of our flesh. Real quickly, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. That's turn right in your Bibles, just about, 20 pages or so. Galatians chapter 5. Real quickly. I'm running out of time. You know the Holy Spirit's got a stopwatch on. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh, okay, he describes them here for you, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Listen to this next one. Outbursts of wrath. Selfish ambition. Dissensions. Heresies. Envy. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelries and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at this next verse. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, somebody who is filled by the Spirit of God, somebody who is surrendered to the Holy Spirit's leadership, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. You put to death the deeds of the flesh. Am I making sense? Am I communicating? It comes through surrender. That's where victory comes from. You can live above sin. You can flee temptation. Have you ever been somewhere or you're watching something or maybe you're reading something or you're listening to something and something goes off inside? I need to pay attention to this. Or maybe you've been somewhere and a sense of dread falls over you and you think, huh, this is not where I need to be. Or maybe you've been in the Word of God and you've been reading and all of a sudden some verse jumps out at you and it says, oh, you need to listen to this. You need to obey this. Or maybe you need wisdom. And so you ask God for wisdom. Or maybe you need comfort and you ask God for comfort. And God answers, though. These are the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 14 back in Romans 8. Here's this is a key verse right here. Look at verse 14, Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, for as many as are led, not directed, led. There is a difference. By the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Several years ago, I had my church staff up in New York City, and and we were staying across the river in New Jersey because, have mercy, the hotels in New Jersey are quite a bit cheaper than the ones in New York City. And so we got in late and we got a good night's rest. We come down to the hotel lobby and I asked the concierge, I said, listen, we need to get to Brooklyn. Where is the subway station? And so this is a sweet lady. The concierge told us how to get to the subway station. She said, oh, it's just 2 or 3 blocks from here. You just go out the door and turn right, turn left, go around this, blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, okay, thank you. So we're close. Oh, yeah, you're close. And she gave us directions how to get down to the subway station. And so we come out the front door, and I look at our staff, and I said, which way did she say go? And all of a sudden, this nice dressed man came out the front doors of the hotel. He said, I apologize, but I heard y'all's conversation with the concierge, and I'm a local boy here, and I can take you to the subway station. Would you like me to take you down there? All you got to do is follow me. I said, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we followed him down to the subway station. He took us directly there, and we stopped, and he told us exactly how much money to put in that machine down there and what cards. And he said, where are y'all going? I said, we need to go to Brooklyn. He told us what train to get on and what station to get off at. Then he turned around and left. And I said, hey, man, thank you. What's your name? He said, y'all have a great day. We got back to the hotel late that evening, and I asked the concierge, I said, did you see that well-dressed man? Who was that? I said, he took us down to the subway station. He led us there. She said, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. This guy's staying with us for a couple of weeks until they get his house built. She said, he is the chief financial officer of the Bank of New York. I said, no wonder he wouldn't tell me what his name was. But you see, that is a perfect illustration. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our leader. And he doesn't just direct us. He wants to lead us. And brother, sister, he knows, he is in tune and in touch with the circumstances of your life. And he has the ability to show you where to go and how to do it. The Holy Spirit is with you. He never leaves you. He is always with you. And this is really cool. He knows about all your strengths and your weaknesses. He knows everything there is to know. And he's God. He's as much God as the Father and the Son. And so he's capable of leading you and your life. And so really, being led by the Spirit involves trust. Trust. It's a moment-by-moment dependency and sensitivity to his promptings. This is what the Scripture calls walking in the Spirit. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes some practice, listening to him, reading the Scriptures. But do y'all know what the goal of the Holy Spirit is? Anybody here know what the goal is? Ooh, Billy, this is good. Look at verse 29. I've heard you talk about this. Chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also, that's God, predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. The goal of the Holy Spirit's leadership in your life and mine is to make us more like Jesus. Glory to God. That's his goal. And if we will listen to him and we will obey him and we will follow him, he'll make you more like Christ Jesus. He wants to lead us down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And did you notice the key? Another one of the keys up in verses 5, 6, and 7. It talks about the mind. That's where the battle's going on. The mind. And here's the deal. When we have our minds set on the things of the Spirit, whoo, you're talking about V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Because that means having your mind set on truth. And whose job is it to teach truth? Oh, come on now, John 15. It's the Holy Spirit's job to teach you truth. That's why Jesus said in our theme verse for the year, you shall know the truth, and the truth will
set you free.
Woo, we've come full circle. Have y'all got it? Oh, some of you don't have it. The key is turning control of your life over to the leadership of the Spirit of God that lives within you. It's a moment by moment, total dependency and sensitivity to his leadership. And he will lead you. He'll not just guide you. He will lead you. He will take you there. Avery, he's the point guard. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I've said all of that to say this morning. Let's get out of the driver's seat. Let's get in the back seat. And by all means, let's get out of the pilot seat. Get out of the co-pilot seat. And let's get in the passenger section and just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Would you bow with me? How do we pray? Well, we tell our kids, bow your heads and close your eyes. It's decision time in this church house. And I want to tell you, if we're really going to have true revival here, we've got to turn loose of our lives and give them to the Spirit of Almighty God. We've got to allow Him to have control of every area of your life. You mean I got to turn my kids over to? Yep. You mean I've got to turn all my finances and stuff over to? Yep. You mean He's going to tell me where to go and what? Yep. You mean He's going to handle this huge problem that I got coming to? Yep. But here's the deal. Are you going to let go of your old sin nature and allow the spiritual nature to take control of your life? That's the question. And right now, the answer is either yes or no. There's no maybe. It's either yes or no. You're either going to be obedient, you're going to be disobedient. Well, maybe in a little while. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Father, I remember in my life, many, many years ago, and this was the message I needed to hear. And as I have turned control of my life over to You, I am not perfect. I'm far from it. But I'm much farther down the road spiritually. I'm much more like Jesus today than I was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago. Because Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, whose responsibility is to glorify the Son, has helped me to glorify Him as well, because He's making me more like Jesus. Oh God, lead us in obedience today. If you're here this morning and you know that you've been in control of things and you've been trying to control stuff, and you'd be willing to turn it all over completely to Him, you want victory over the sin in your life. You want freedom from that power of sin. I want to ask you right now. I want to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I just want you to stand to your feet, and I want to lead you in a prayer. Amen? Just stand to your feet. If you want victory over sin in your life, if you want to get free from the power of sin, there's one person in here that wants that. I'm just going to pray with you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Anybody else? I want victory over sin in my life. I want that freedom to live in power over my sin. All right, for those of you that are standing, you don't have to pray out loud. You can pray in your spirit. Father, today, I know that I know that I know I have the Spirit living in me. You convict me of sin. You answer my prayers. You lead me in paths of righteousness. But I need to totally turn my life over to the Holy Spirit's control. I need to follow His prompting. God, I so want that in my life. I surrender all today. Completely, totally, lead me, Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on me today. I've got all of You, and You've got all of me. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank You for setting me free today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor, about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.